Awesome. So I want to get into this morning with you, Dan. Everything that Dan said during the worship and what the Lord was doing just really kind of was a reflection of what I was on my heart this morning to share. And I wanted to share, I want to share this morning for those of you taking notes or got your pens and notepads or iPads and Bibles with you. I want to talk about creating margin for a healthy walk, creating margin for a kingdom life. So I want to talk about this idea of margin and what it is to create that in your life, and how we live in a society that is not margin friendly. So anyway, we'll get into that in a minute, but a couple things that I wanted to share is who you are is always more important than what you get done. So work on your character first. God wants you whole. Cool. That was really strong in my spirit this morning. Who you are is always more important than what you get done. So work on your character first. God wants you whole. Felt that was, just wanted to share that this morning. And so anyway, along the lines of what Dan was saying just a little bit ago, right before the offering, he said, get alone with God, get in the quiet, and you'll find him, and you'll find yourself in him. Thought that was really powerful. Get alone with God, get in the quiet, and you'll find him, and you'll find yourself in him. That's really where our worship went this morning, was getting to a place of getting quiet before the Lord and having him teach us how to follow him. And it was a really sweet place, a tender place. And our society and our culture is counter-quiet, right? It's counter-stillness. Everything about our culture and our society today is about progress and doing, doing, doing. Richard Swenson, medical doctor, said, no one in the history of mankind has ever had to live with the number and intensity of stressors that we have acting upon us today. Would you guys agree with that? There's a lot of stuff out there. We live in a very overstimulated environment day to day with the TV, with media, with our jobs, with job titles, and with things that we do way outside of our job description. We're just like always doing stuff that that is keeping our schedule full. And so a lot of this, I'm going to be reading some of this because I was writing a lot of this yesterday, so you're just going to have to bear with me. But, you know, I want to talk about margin is, let me just talk about it a little bit. Living with margin means living with intentionally created space in order to breathe emotionally, mentally, socially, financially, spiritually, etc. Does that make sense? So we are creating a margin in our life. The margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Okay, so if I can lift this chair and it's, say, 4 pounds, but I have the capacity to lift 90 pounds, the margin is 86 pounds, right? So that's my margin. Now, what we do with our schedules is we have a 90-pound limit, and we're trying to lift 100 pounds. There's no margin there. Or we're trying to lift 88 or 90, right? We're slap full. Now, we need to create margin in our life for many reasons. Think about it financially. If you make $3,000 a month, and you have $3,000 a month in bills, you don't have any margin. So when something happens, you're upside down, right? So we need to learn how to live with margin in our life so that when the things do come up, we're prepared for them. And our society, our schedule, and the way that we live in our culture is so progressive. It's so, we want progress. We want to fill our schedule with everything. We want to fill our time with everything. We want to fill our mental capacity with all this stuff and be overstimulated. We want to make sure we have everything financially or material wise, and so we put this, we take this bill on knowing that we can pay it off, but there's no margin in our budget, right? And so we do not live in a margin-friendly culture. We fill our schedules full with no space or time in between. No one has time to listen, let alone love. Is God now pro-exhaustion? Does he lead people beside still waters anymore? If we don't move to establish effective priorities, overloading will continue to fill up our schedules and keep us captive. Therefore, we must be intentional about creating time in our lives. Time for listening, time for breathing, time for refreshing, and time for resting. Time for being in the quiet. Like Dan said, get in the quiet and you'll find him and you'll find yourself in him. When we don't create margin in our life in any capacity, especially spiritually though, we're not being intentional about sitting and being quiet before the Lord, right? Does he not lead people beside still waters anymore? He still does, right? He restores our soul. Is your soul being restored? So, like I said, margin is the space between your load and your limit. Now, everyone's margin is different, whatever that looks like. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, every individual has a unique set of limits on our life. You know, we are limited people. We have limits to how much we can lift or do physically. We have limits to how much we can, a lot of people have limits, and this is really interesting because I've been talking a lot about this the last couple weeks with my wife and other people in my family, is we actually have limits on how much we talk. So if someone talks a lot at work, there's like this thing scientifically or psychologically, I should say, called a word limit. And if you've reached your word limit and you go home at the end of the day, you don't want to talk to nobody. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Now there's a lot of people that don't talk a lot at work. And when they get off of work, they're a chatterbox and they want to talk to everybody. And is this making sense to you? So everyone has a limit, even with their social capacity or with their words or with how they communicate, maybe a communication limit, right? And so more introverted people have maybe a lesser word capacity or word limit, and maybe more extroverted people like myself or like Clay, who can just talk and talk and talk. We have unlimited word limit, right? There's no limit on our words. We can just go and go and go. So where am I at here? So when you reach the limits of your resources or abilities, you have no margin left, right? Because margin is the space between your load, what you're actually carrying, and the limit of what you can carry. Everyone say amen. So this is when you have no margin in your life, there's no space. This is when stress overwhelms us and we become distressed. So you have to know that stress is not the circumstance. Stress is our response to the circumstance. So stress is not something that you're in. It's something that's happening to you because of what you're in, okay? Everyone wants to get rid of stress, but they don't want to clear up their schedule, okay? So let me explain this too about stress. A lot of what I'm talking about today is stuff from books that I've been reading and really been challenged by here in the last couple months. You know, stress is actually healthy. Okay? Stress causes us to make decisions. Stress causes us to move in certain ways and to move to a capacity. You probably understand that a lot, Tim, right? Stress causes you to make decisions, especially as a policeman. Like, that kind of stress in a situation is going to cause you to do certain things, and it's going to cause you to make certain decisions in your life. It's when you're distressed that you're on stress overload. So there's a load of stress that we can handle and that we should handle in our life. And so when there's stress to make a decision, or there's stress to create something, or maybe to be innovative, or maybe there's a time crunch and it helps people work a little bit quicker, that's stress, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's when you have no margin in that stress capacity that you become distressed. Are you guys following me a little bit? Okay, so living without margin in your life means increased stressors and an overwhelmed burden. So I'm not really talking about anything super spiritual right now. Everyone knows that, right? I'm talking about margin. I'm talking about creating space. I'm talking about stress. But we'll get there. So many people commit to 120% life and wonder why the burden feels so heavy. It is rare to see a life pre-scheduled to 80%, leaving a margin for responsibilities to the unexpected that God sends our way. I said the unexpected that God sends our way. But we also have to understand there's unexpected that life sends our way, the enemy sends our way, and if you are not living with margin, you have no capacity to handle that. You have no capacity to handle the enemy's schemes against you, but also you have no capacity to handle the responsibilities that God wants to put on you. Is that making sense? So this is why this is so in me right now about margin. So let's move a little bit closer, as I talked about that, to a spiritual principle of margin. Now, talking about a life principle here, but we have to understand that God rested, right? Genesis 2. Open your Bibles to Genesis 2 if you're there. God rested. God did not create man for the Sabbath, but he created Sabbath for man, right? And he created the Sabbath for himself. God rested from his work. Hebrews 4 tells us that, and Genesis 2 tells us that. So let's look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 2 to 3. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. All the work that he had done, he rested. Right? So we have to understand that God rested on the seventh day. See, God created margin even for himself. God created margin for man as well. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work, as God did from his work. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." Okay, Hebrews 4. Y'all need to write this down because y'all need to rest. I need to rest, right? Rest is good. So our society and our culture is telling us, go, go, go. Progress, progress, progress. Fill your schedule. Do all these things. Get overstimulated. Live your lives with all of this stuff. No one's telling you, hey, you need to rest. I'm here to tell you you need to rest. So write this down, Hebrews 4. This is new covenant teaching, okay? This is Hebrews now. Okay, the author of Hebrews, who many say is Paul, but it's actually not said who it is, but the author of Hebrews is saying, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. So let us therefore strive to enter that rest. So even the author of Hebrews is saying, enter that rest. And obviously, there's a lot of things that change in the new covenant, right? Paul says, if you eat meat, you eat meat. If you, you know, this, that. You know, there's a lot, I guess, more liberty or freedom or expression in the new covenant. But there might not be, you know, a strict Sabbath like the Jews had the Sabbath. But the author of Hebrews is saying, let us enter that rest. So are we striving to enter that rest? Are we being intentional about creating that space for rest? Or do we overlook it even for the sake of the kingdom? Do we overlook the rest that we need in our life? Do we overlook it because we're busy doing ministry stuff? Or we're busy doing, oh, well, I'm doing the Lord's work all the time. I'm evangelizing all the time. I'm filling up my empty space with ministry. Are you willing to sacrifice the rest that God calls us to? Are you willing to sacrifice that on the altar of ministry? So, do we honor the Lord with our rest? Do we honor him by resting? So, God rested. God created the Sabbath for man, and God created the Sabbath for himself. And Hebrews says we should strive to enter in that rest. Let's move on to another scripture. Let's see. God's desire is to give us rest. God desires to create margin and open space in our lives. Let's look at Psalm 23. We're going to be in the Psalms here a little bit. Exodus 33, if you guys want to write some of these down. I'll be in Exodus 33, 14, Psalm 23, Psalm 127, Psalm 37. I'll read a few out here. Exodus 33, 14 says this, "And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Right? That's a promise, right? I will give you rest. How many times have we heard that? I will give you rest. The Psalms talk about it too. You will receive rest. But if we're living a life so busy and we don't have rest, doesn't God want to give us rest? If we don't have rest, it's probably because we don't have the capacity to receive from the Lord his rest, right? So, we slap full our schedule and we don't leave room for the Lord to receive the Lord's rest in our lives. So let's move on to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We love Psalm 23. But the problem is that we don't live Psalm 23. We like the idea of it. We like the principle of it. We like the prophetic, symbolism of it. Like, oh, eventually I'll get there to green pastures or to still waters, or he'll restore my soul, you know, sometime. Is he though? Is your soul being restored? Right? These are promises. These are scriptures that we claim all the time. But are we living in them? Do we have the margin in our life, right, to put in that rest, those still waters, those green pastures, the restoring of our soul? God wants that for us. Psalm 127, 2. Psalm 127, 2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep." So a lot of times we get up early and stay up late and we're doing all these things, our schedule's full, but we're doing it for the kingdom. And he says, it is in vain that you do all these things and you're toiling for these things. What does it say? The anxious toil. For God gives to his beloved sleep. God wants to give you rest, right? God wants to give you even the physical laying down of sleep. And how many of us live with too little of that? Because we're always going, going, going. Our schedule is full. We have no margin in our life. Psalm 37, 7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." How many of these things are we doing, right? How many of these things are we actually living? When does he restore our soul? Do we have the space in our life for him to do that? When is there time for him to lean, to lead you to the still waters? Are we creating time for the Lord to lead us to the still waters? Hang on a second. My watch is buzzing. Technology, right? Anyone can reach me anywhere at any time on this watch. How about I take it off and create margin in my life? So is there margin in your life to sit and be patient for him to hear his direction? Like Psalm 37 tells us, be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him. Like Dan was talking about this morning, get in the quiet place and there you will find him and you'll find yourself in him. Are we creating that time? Do we have that time? And go to another little section here to talk about Jesus. Let's go into the New Testament. I know we talked about, we went into Hebrews, but let's go into the Gospels here. Jesus sought rest during his days, laboring for the Father in the kingdom. Let's open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 and then Luke chapter 5, and we'll look in there a little bit. You see, Jesus created the margin in his life to be able to take on what the Father was giving him. Okay? We'll say that again. Jesus created the margin in his life to be able to rest, but to also be able to take on what the Father gave to him, right? The tasks that the Father gave to him. And many times, he knew the tasks that the Father gave to him because he removed himself and went away to pray, right? So he went away to go pray. And he knew that even in the busyness, he said, I need to go and pray. I'm trying to remember who said it. Was it C.S. Lewis or Charles Spurgeon, one of those greats, said, I have so much to do today, I must make more time for prayer. Because he knew that his schedule was so full, he needed the Lord to be able to handle it. He knew he needed that margin in his day to be able to get the strength from the Lord. And oftentimes we're running and doing the ministry things or doing the work things or doing the family things, doing all the things that God has called us to do, take care of our families. It's good for a man to work, right? Serving in the kingdom, doing all the good things, but we're not creating time to strengthen ourselves to do those things more effectively. And so we run on half fuel or we run on empty, doing all of those things that we think the Lord wants us to do, but really he wants us to operate at full capacity doing those things by creating the margin in our life. Amen? So let's look at Mark chapter 6. This is, I believe, I'm trying to remember which one this is. This is right before they fed the 5,000, I believe. The apostles returned to Jesus, Mark 6, verse 30. I'm sorry, let me give you some verses. Mark 6, verse 30 to 32. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. You see, the disciples were going out and doing and teaching. They were doing and teaching. They were doing and teaching. That's a good principle for us to learn because a lot of times we teach and teach and teach and teach, and we need to do and teach and do and teach, right? So the apostles returned to Jesus and told him that they had all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. So even, you see, Jesus saw that the disciples were going, going, going. And he's like, come away with me to a desolate place. And they got in the boat and they went away to a desolate place. Because Jesus saw that they were that there were many coming and going and that they had no leisure. See, Jesus saw that they had no rest, that they had no space, they had no margin in their life. And he said, come away, let's go. Does that make sense? So Jesus, even as an example, as he removed himself many times to go pray with the Father, Jesus is now trying to help the disciples understand, come away and let's rest. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, now be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So Jesus, the epic, miracle-working, drawing great crowds, the word is getting spread around town, all these people are following him. And our natural response would be, the ministry is growing, let's keep investing in it. Right? That's our progressive mindset. Progress, progress, progress. If something's going well, don't take your hands off it. Keep doing what you're doing to keep growing it, right? So the crowds are growing and the word is getting spread that healing is happening, and Jesus would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. See, Jesus, amidst the busiest times of his ministry, always withdrew to go pray. He always withdrew to go rest. Because he knew that burnout, he knew that he was man, right? Fully God, fully man. And so we have to understand that we're fully man and nothing else, right? We're fully man. We're going to get burnt out. We need to create the space in our life to be able to have the strength to do what God is calling us to, right? So Jesus, what'd you say, Vicky? He even slept in the storm. Yeah. I read that one too this week preparing for this. So, actually, I think that, was this right before that one? This story was, I can't remember if it's this story that's before it, but actually the reason they were on the boat is because he pulled them away. And then the storm came and he's sleeping in his bunk. And what do the disciples do? They freak out and then he stills the storm and he says, what's your problem, you know? Anyway, that's a whole other story, but Jesus' example paves the way for us to seek out space and rest in our life. So are we mimicking Christ's ways? Are we creating healthy margin in our lives like Jesus did? So this progressive mindset that we have, this like always seeking progress, always seeking increase, always seeking greater things that we have in our culture and our society, is absolutely threaded into the fabric of our churches and ministries. So it's always about going, 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 right? Always about doing the next big thing, going to the next big conference, you know, getting to the next revival. And we think those things, you know, those things are good for us, and I'm not saying they're bad things to do, but if we fill our schedule with just those things and we don't create the margin in our life or the space in our life for God to work on us individually, then we're not doing what Jesus did even. Jesus could have had filled his schedule slap full of revivals and healings and teachings and great crowds. But it says that when those great crowds came, he removed himself and he went to go pray. He went to a desolate place. So if we want to follow in Christ's example, then we must follow in his example of healing and doing the greater things that he says we would do, but we must also follow his example in going and resting. We must follow in his example in creating margin in our life. Can everyone say amen? So even Christ, in creating margin and space for himself, Jesus did it with others too, taking his disciples with him. So we can create margin in our lives with other people, encouraging others to do the same thing. So that's what being kingdom people is all about, right? It's about community. It's about developing a culture of community and bonding with one another and growing with one another spiritually. And it's also about challenging one another. And so just as much as we'd give a friend of ours or a community or in relationships that we're in, we would give them an encouraging word or a scripture, we should also be saying, hey, let's go away to rest. When was the last time you went to rest? When was the last time you got quiet with the Lord? See, we all, our progress mindset wants to get into our relationships to where it's like, hey, what are you doing for the Lord? But remember what I said at the beginning, who you are is always more important than what you have to get done. And so focus on your character. And so who you are in the kingdom is always more important than what you have to get done in the kingdom. And we need to be creating that space in order to allow the Lord to move mightily. All right? There's a couple other things I wanted to share about an overcommitted life, you know, living at 120%, filling our schedules. I read this. It says, the clock and Christ are not close friends. We jump at the alarm, but we sleep through the call of the Almighty. He expects us to be available for the needs of others, doesn't he? And without margin, each of us would have great difficulty guaranteeing availability. Instead, when God calls, he gets a busy signal. I want to read that again. That really impacted me. The clock and Christ are not close friends. Now, I'm not saying the clock is evil, but the clock and Christ are not close friends. We jump at the alarm, but sleep through the call of the Almighty. God expects us to be available for the needs of others, and without margin, each of us would have great difficulty guaranteeing availability. Instead, when God calls, he gets a busy signal. Now, I want you to just think about this for a moment, about the practicality of establishing margin in your life. Now, if we have it, let's take a day and all the things we do in a day. Say we go to work for 8 or 10 hours, and then you get off of work, and you got to run to the grocery store and pick things up for supper. And then once you get home, you need to make supper for the kids, and then put the kids in bed, and you've got this full schedule. What if God at one point in your day whispers to you, like he does, nudges us, speaks prophetically to us about talking to somebody at the grocery store, or while we're filling up at the gas station, you know, being able to even engage in conversation with somebody, or even being able to call a friend in the middle of the day, or at some point in the evening after work and encourage somebody? What if the Lord wants you to do that, but we're missing out on all those opportunities because our schedule is so full? Our mind is to capacity. There's no margin. The load is to the limit. And so we have no mental or emotional or spiritual capacity to hear what God wants us to do for others. And so God wants us to invest in others, like I said. God expects us to be available for the needs of others. So even maybe paying for someone's groceries at the grocery store. What if God wants you to do that, but he gets a busy signal? You're too busy on your phone looking at something. You're too busy not paying attention, not creating the margin in your life. Without the margin, each of us would have great difficulty guaranteeing that availability. And instead, when God calls, he gets a busy signal. So when God wants to reach out to us and interrupt our day, he cannot, because we're so full. There's no margin. The load has reached the limit, and we are tired, and we go to bed, and we get in this cycle of doing this day after day. Now, Dan talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago about us as a house moving more into the direction of everyday evangelism, everyday conversation with people, everyday kingdom work. And whether it's a conversation with somebody or whether it's praying with somebody or whether it's evangelizing to somebody, we need to be able, at the drop of a hat, to be able to minister to somebody. If God wants us to, if God puts that on our heart, but if we have no margin in our emotions and in our time and in our schedule, there's no capacity to be able to handle that responsibility, right? And so this is why this has become really important for me, is creating the time and creating the emotional capacity to be able to handle what the Lord wants to lay on our hearts and be responsible and available for that day. And so that's why I titled this Creating Margin for Kingdom Living, or Creating Margin for Healthy Living. Because we need to, in order to be able to be effective kingdom people in the earth, to be able to salt and light in the earth, we have to be able to create the space in our life to be able to be effective kingdom people. Amen? So let me just touch on this, and I'm going to wrap it up. But what are some practical ways to live with margin in our life, right? So that we have this principle, this idea, this concept of margin. But it's very similar to the idea and the principle and the concept of the still waters, or Him restoring our soul. So how do we practically incorporate the margin in our life? We have to be intentional to create it. So we're going to have to let go of some things. So watch this. Think about margin in your finances. This is a good way for us to be able to create margin in our finances. We need to learn, especially as younger folks, especially as millennials, we need to learn how to budget properly. There's a Dave Ramsey course that's going to be offered here in the fall. And that's a great way for you to invest in creating margin in your life. And, that's a great tool that we're also offering here in this building. But also, we need to look at our finances and find out if we're overextended, if we're overloaded, if we're over the limit. Or likely most people that live today have reached the limit or are over the limit financially. And we depend on the tax returns and we depend on the extra little incomes in order to help keep us under or keep us even. God wants us to live with margin even in our finances. So that what if He says, give that person $20, pay for that person's groceries, pay for that person's gas, give money to this minister, this one, maybe. Hey, I'm just kidding. I'm not taking up an offering. God, when God speaks to us and whispers to us, are we too full? Do we not have capacity to be generous? Being generous is a biblical principle. And if our finances have no margin in them, then we have no capacity for generosity. All right? So let's look at another area. Creating margin in your schedule. So there's a lot of things that we fill our schedule with. What can we take out of our schedule in order to create that margin, that space, even if it's just sitting in the car for 10 minutes, even if it's just getting home and saying, you know what, I'm taking 20 minutes, and I'm just going to be still before the Lord. You don't have to like pray in tongues. You don't have to read your Bible. I'm not talking about creating time to spend with the Lord necessarily, but I'm talking about time to listen to the Lord. Talking about time to just be still and be in the quiet. Do we have that space? Because maybe the Lord's been trying to get at us all day about something, but our mentally and emotionally, we're so full, there's no margin. Think about it at work even. We're so busy at work. But is there a possibility that you can sit for 5 minutes at work, and instead of going on a 15-minute break and getting on your phone and looking at Facebook for 15 minutes, or even reading a book for 15 minutes, or watching something on Netflix, or I don't know what people do on their lunch break or on their 15-minute breaks, but how about just being still and creating that space, creating that margin, even like Christ did, even like Jesus teaches us to. So don't fill up every day with something to do every single minute of every single day. There has to be, we have to be intentional about creating that space, right? So leave room for God to intervene and you to obey. That's the big thing, is leave room for God to intervene and for you to obey. So many times we don't even leave room for God to intervene, let alone for us to obey. But we need to create that room to be salt and light in the earth, to be a city on a hill, so that we can be kingdom people. Creating margin in your emotions. Sometimes we're so, you know, full of emotion about everything, whether we're anxious about something, whether we're angry about something, whether we get wound up at work about stuff, wound up in our family about stuff. You know, many times we're so overloaded emotionally. We need to create space. You know, our families can be very, family can be a very stressful, emotional, you know, go through seasons of that, or maybe live perpetually in that. You know, you have to be able to separate yourself from constantly focusing on the stressors and the emotion of what is in front of you, whether it's family or job or no job or ministry or relationships. There's all kinds of things that cause stressors, finances, right? And so we have to be able to, as much as we create the space mentally, we also have to create the space emotionally. You know, one of our spiritual daughters, a young girl that we've been mentoring, Natalie and I, texted Natalie the other day and said, I'm really nervous about some of these things, and she's getting married in the next couple months or so, and she just has a lot of anxiety. And Natalie said, one of the things that Natalie said that I was just really impressed by is she said, pray the Lord to soften and take away that fear, but also replace it with joy, right? So many times we pray away a certain emotion, or we kind of try to get away from it, but we don't ask the Lord to fill us with joy and fill us with gratefulness. And gratefulness and thanksgiving will cause grief and anger and fear and anxiety to go. So we need to pray over our emotions and create the space in our life in order to replace those negative, the anxiety, the stressors, the distress, the stuff that God doesn't want us to be burdened with. We have to pray those things out, but also receive gratefulness, thankfulness, joy. So anyway, those are just a few things. Your finances, your schedule, your emotions. It's good for us to be able to think about the practical ways to create the margin in our life. Is this making sense? When God calls, don't give him a busy signal. We don't even have busy signals anymore. Isn't that sad? You never hear the pop, 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 pop busy signal anymore. Because what? We have call waiting. Hey, I'm on the phone. Hey, someone else is calling me. I got to go. No margin. our schedules, our lives, our minds, our mental capacity, our emotions are so full. But God wants there to be a release of space, and there needs to be a release of time and a release of materials. You know, some of us just need to get rid of all the junk that's just sitting around in our house and begin to create space for God to start doing some things, for God to start having some people over, for God to start having you invest in other relationships and pour into other people. But is the space there for it? Let's begin to create space. Amen? Let's all stand up. I'm about done. Let's pray together. So let's just take a moment and think on the practical ways of creating space in our life. Because it would be a tragedy to walk away from this place and not implement any sort of margin or space in your life. And I just want to say, whether that's emotionally, socially, schedule-wise, physically, creating that time. Think about ways that the Lord might be speaking to you to clear up and make some margin in your life. Financially, I believe that we need so much to have financial margin. And I think that this house does an amazing job of giving to guest speakers that come in. And that's awesome. And that must mean that there's some margin there financially to be able to give. I hope there is. I hope you're, when you give to a guest minister, or when you give to a ministry, or when you give to an offering, that there is still margin in your life and you haven't reached your limit. You see, when you reach your limit with the load financially, that puts so much burden and stress on you. And then you want to blame the minister for taking up an offering. Then you want to blame God for running you dry on your finances. But God wants you to manage the things that you buy and the habits that you have and help you with those things. So someone came to me recently and said, I'm really stressed out about finances. And they wanted a new job. And I said, you might not need a new job. You might need to manage the money that you currently have coming in better. You might have some spending habits that are not helping you, right? So listen, think about these things. Think about where your money is going. Think about where your emotions are going. Think about where your social life is and how much social stimulation you have in your life. And maybe you need to create some space so that you can have some word limits, right? So you don't reach your word limit socially, so that when you come home with your family, you're investing that time with your family. Some of us need to start shaving away at all of these things that our culture is telling us, progress, progress, doing things, building things, increasing, shaving off things. So, space to breathe emotionally, mentally, socially, financially, spiritually, even physically. You know, I was reading about how a type A personality is very go, 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 right? Very intense. There's actually a lot of health complications that happen with type A personalities because they're not naturally creating margin in their life because they're so ready to go, go, go. So there's a lot of health problems that can happen. And so even creating margin in your life will benefit you in all these ways, financially, spiritually, physically, health-wise, all of those things will cause you to, you see, God wants us to live in wholeness, right, in every area, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. He wants us to have wholeness. He wants us to be whole and be healthy physically, right? So many people getting healthy physically. It's so good to see, right? It's so good to see people, you know, taking things out of their diet and, you know, not drinking Cokes and all that kind of stuff. That's stuff that's good for you. That's, you know, doing that physically and creating that margin in your life to where you're healthier and not just slap full. So, you know, these are the things that we need to be thinking about for the purpose of being more effective kingdom people when we go to engage with in relationships, when we go to engage in conversation with people, when we go to the Kroger or the gas station or whatever it is, the workplace, the family reunions, the get-togethers, the 4th of July, so many times we're mentally and emotionally so to capacity that we don't have the time to sit down and ask what's going on with our cousin or our friends or our family. And God wants us to be able to carry the kingdom message, the gospel message everywhere we go. And if we don't have any margin in our life that allows us to open up to those relationships and conversations, then we're not living the way that he's called us to live. So let's pray. Let's take a moment. Lord, help us. Lord, even now as you're teaching us and as you're speaking to us about creating margin in our life, God, I pray that we would learn to follow through. I pray that we would learn to understand what things we need to lay down and what things we need to pick up. in order to create margin. Maybe there's a part-time job that we need to take on in order to create the margin in our finances that we need. Or maybe there's some spending habits that we need to drop in order to create that margin. Lord, help us to understand what it is. For every person, it will be unique. Lord, help me to understand what it is to create margin in my life. Come on, let's just say that. Just take a moment and speak to the Lord. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, understand what it is for me to create margin in my life in the different areas, physically, socially, mentally, emotionally. Lord, help us know what it is. And Lord, I thank you that you are strengthening this body. I thank you that you're strengthening this house to be effective kingdom people in DeSoto County, in Shelby County, in Tate County. God, I thank you that you are setting us on track to be change agents wherever we go because of the margin that you're helping us put in our life. So God, open those spaces in our hearts, open those spaces in our minds, open those spaces in our schedules, in our finances, to be able to do the things that you have called us to do. And help us to remember that who we are is more important than what we have to get done. And so we need to focus on our character. We need to focus on the margin that's in our life. We need to focus on creating that space in order to be kingdom, effective people, salt and light in the world. In Christ's name, we all said, amen. Amen.